Everything's all right in my Father's house.
Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be
sure your sin will find you out. All right. Brother Seabold, we're ready for you, sir.
Amen.
Let me say, sure, it's good to be in church today. I'm going to give you the mic if you don't do better than that. It sure is good to be in church today. Amen. I look forward to getting here today since the last time I was here. And we have just come back from about, the odometer says we've traveled 1,970 miles since we saw you last. And I've been up and down the East Coast I'm going to say this, but don't go, oh, lucky him, as far as Florida. And it was in the probably 50s when we were there. And we didn't go into Florida, just crossed over the border. So I could tell you today that we were in Florida this past week. God was good, and I thank God for the opportunity of serving him. Don't ever get old. You know, how many of you thought you'd never get old? I figured if I hung with teenagers all the time, I'd stay a teenager all the time. So tomorrow night I'll be preaching to about 400 teenagers at snow camp. And so that's exciting. But being here, I'm serious. I said, when is that ever going to get here? When is that day ever going to come? So I'm glad to be here. And then the road conditions caused that little motorhome of ours, and I drive like an old man, and it just caused us to slow down just a little bit. I'm trying to give you an excuse why we're late. I try to get my wife the right one for me, and so forth and so on. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible tells us to go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's God's word. And I think every once in a while we need to be honest to ourselves. We're not always all of what we think we are. We're not always of what we should be. And God's word will help us to be what we ought to be. And as the years have rolled along, our culture has become more and more pagan, more and more atheistic, more and more ungodly. And we don't become Christ-like or Christians or just by osmosis. Not that there was ever a time in America that was the way. But many of us were brought up in a school system where we saluted the flag. We said the Lord's Prayer. We read from the Psalms. We had real Christmas programs. And so we got some Christianity before we got Christ. Maybe you were saved at 5, but maybe you weren't. But you got Christianity before you got saved. So when you got saved, there was not always the transformation, the major transformation. Does that make sense? In other words, you were kind of like living like a Christian because you were trained in a culture that's a Christian culture. So you knew. How many mealtime in your home did you say grace before you ate? Did you do this one? God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. Let's eat. Yeah, and so we kind of chuckle a little bit at that, but we don't do that a whole lot in our culture here in America. Ma and I were on a trip somewhere, probably in New York State, and we stopped for a bite to eat, and we prayed, like we always do, but we prayed before we ate. And when it was time for the girl to give us a check, is that what you call that? A check. She didn't give me a check. She gave me a bill. Well, it just sounded funny. Early in the morning, she gave me a check. She handed me the bill and or laid it on the table. And I looked at it, and there was no total amount on it. It said, have a great day. And I said to her, what are you talking about? I owe you money for my meal. She said, no, that couple over there saw you pray, and they decided they would pay for your meal. It wasn't the first or the last time that it happened. And we've been praying long prayers more recently. It's profitable. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. So I said to our church folks at Open Door that when they're in a restaurant and they see somebody like that praying, not a family of 10, but if they see a young couple with a couple of kids, you know, go ahead and pay for their meal. Just to be an encouragement, not to, you know, but just to say, hey, I'm glad people are praying for their meal. The further south you go, the more you see folks praying in a restaurant. up in the Yankee country. You're not, you folks are out here, and I don't know what kind of country. Ephesians, Proverbs chapter 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Sounds like the good Lord's calling us names, but there is a reality in it that we are not all of what we should be when we come, and we're not all of what we should be this morning. Right. Hey, we agree? I know we want to be more like Christ. We want to be more of what we're supposed to be, and that's why we come to Sunday school. That's why we come to church, is that we might praise God. Songwriter said, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I know we come to praise God, but we also come to learn some things along with that, learn some things that would put us in line with his mandates, his precepts for our life. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. This time of year, it was hard to find ants. It's just not the season for ants. It's hard to find them. But you know, we need to do what this says to do, is to take time and study what God said to do. In a college, I forget what kind of college it was, it must have had something to do with science, but the youngster signed up for a course in marine biology. And so they're all sitting like you're sitting, and the professor comes in. He's got the labs and all that around there, and then he's got a big table in front of him. Opens up his briefcase. Students are watching. He pulls out a fish. Flips it up on the table. There's about a dozen kids, young men, in the class. Walks out. They're paid. This is a college course. They're paying money for this course. And he left those 12 young men there in that room with the fish, walked out 45 minutes when class was over. He came back. You know, if you're a college student and you're paying what you're paying for college today, you want more than just a fish on a surgical table. You want, and so he picked it up, put it back in his briefcase, walked out, told the kids to see him tomorrow. Did the same thing the next day. Walked into class, kids are sitting there, opened up his briefcase, threw the fish on the table. He did that for the first 4 days. And finally, on the fifth day, the kids said, we're not just going to sit here. Let's go take a closer look at that fish. And they started to examine the fish. They started to notice characteristics about the fish, the length of the fish, size of the fish, weight of the fish, and so forth and so on. They were learning something. And sometimes as Christian folks, church people, we're waiting for that bald-headed preacher to give us something. We're waiting for somebody to come along and feed us. And that's good. All right? But you may not like the meal I prepared. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So we need to study so that we would be a workman qualified to do what God wants us to do. Now, you're looking, I said this when the first time I was here, you're looking at an educated idiot. My wife's the only one laughing at that because she knows the truth of it. You can study and study and study. How many of you men, we're not A students. Yeah, okay. We could study. I could study. You could study. We study and study and study and study and study. We go to bed, wake up the next morning. What did I study? What did I study? I have a set of notes here. Worked on them last night. Woke up this morning, sat at our little dining room table and said, I better study these a little bit more because I'm not sure what I studied yesterday. Can I get a witness? Can I get somebody to say, okay, I can go along with that. And so God holds us accountable for whatever he gave us. Okay? Well, I don't know. We want to be accountable for what God gave us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Go to the ant, the sluggard. A sluggard is somebody who is lazy. Someone who is passive. And so we don't want to be known in that category. So I have some little ideas here that I captured from somebody else who studied the ants, since I couldn't find any ants this time of year to study. And if I could, I probably wouldn't have studied them anyway. So we go to the ant and study it. There are more than 12,000, this is Factual information. There are more. Some of you are authorities on ants. I'll have you come up here. But anyway, there are more than 12,000 species of ants all over the world. There's 12,000 species of people all over the world. We need to study. We study the ants so we can understand each other, which we'll come to at the conclusion of the lesson. Ants can lift 20 times their weight. Isn't that exciting? Now, if you were an ant and you weigh 200 pounds, that means proportion-wise, you could lift up 2 tons. That ant's pretty strong. God made a specimen there that we cannot duplicate. I won't tell you how much I weigh, but I'm close to that 200 pounds. But to lift up 2 tons, we were working on a cart yesterday. Yesterday. And one of our mechanics was underneath it, and I was leaning in it. And I thought to myself, if that jack ever slipped, could I grab the front of that car like the ant could and pick it up? Unless God for that instant gave a supernatural power, but it's not that way. So the ant is capable of doing what some people can't do. You're capable of doing what somebody else can't do. The gentleman who plays the piano. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Don't. While you were playing, I was thinking to myself, we've been over 260 churches, 270 churches. They don't have too many piano players like that. I mean, that adds life to the service. But let's not just depend upon a piano player to add life. Your singing adds life to the piano. Your countenance adds life. One of the reasons I'm excited to get back here, because there's a joy. There's a joy in serving Jesus. And so that needs to be seen. When somebody walks in here as a stranger and they see there's life, where in most contemporary churches today, they're synthetic, artificial, worked up, strobe lights, all that other kind of stuff. But on your face is the glow of Almighty God. Yeah? Where's your happy? I told you that last time I was here. Where's your happy? And so I come here to see you're happy. God wants to see you're happy. These ants can accomplish many, many, many things. I jotted a few more things down here. Ladies, they tell me that the queen ant lives many years. That's good, ladies. But she has over 1 million babies. You thought you had it tough with one. Maybe you had twins. But over 1 million babies. Can you imagine all those ants running around? Unbelievable. That one nice thing about the ant, though, they don't have ears. So they can't hear all those babies crying. They don't. They pick up vibrations when the ant, queen ant, or whatever, they move away or go away from the nest. They eject certain types of aromas, okay? And that allows them to find their way back to their kids. It's amazing, that simple little ant. Have you ever sat there and watched them when they're trying to carry something? They can carry something, what did I say, 20 times their weight. And he drops it, or she drops it, and it'll go back and pick it up again. And it'll go another inch or two, drop it, go back and pick it up again. I can learn something from that. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You all remember Igor? It's too hard. It's too cold out, son. I don't want to go out. It's rainy. I don't want to go to church. You know, he always had an excuse. And these ants, they don't come up with excuses. They do what they need to do to get the job done. And in our churches today, we need folks to say, we're going to do what we need to do to get the job done. We can do that. We can do that. We can do that. I mentioned a mechanic I was working with yesterday. That's his mindset. If you guys know anything about automobiles, all right, to change a starter in a 2009 Veracruz Hyundai, you got to take the whole thing apart to change the starter. Oh, we've got to put a starter in my daughter's car. Oh, no problem. Oh, it is a problem. Study. Don't give up. This young man never hesitated. He just grabbed the wrench, started yanking things. And it was amazing because he knew where he put the things that he yanked to put them back together again. And my daughter's now driving and riding in the car. Well, I can't do that. My wife says, sitting back there and saying, Rev, why don't you swallow what you're just now preaching? you follow what God is trying to tell us? We can do something. We can do something. You're February the 4th, I believe it is, anniversary. We can do something. You can do something. We can do something. You can envision, where are we going to put all the people? Well, no, nobody wants to come to church anymore. That's because folks aren't being asking them. My motorhome broke down. Yeah, but you like this experience? I'm driving on in New Jersey, Highway 42. I pull out on it. I'm going about 20 miles, 30 miles an hour. I needed to slow down, not because I was going too fast, but I put my foot on the brake, pop, my foot went right to the floor. I mean, all the way to the floor. What am I going to do? Praise God. Yeah. We're not going to quit because something got a little bit difficult, something got a little bit hard. In church, right now, our churches in the Northeast are going hard times. We're not in that Christian culture. Our little ones, if they're sent off to a secular school system, aren't getting any Christianity. They're getting 180 degrees opposite of that, destroying what they're getting in Sunday school and in church. But we're here. And as I pulled up this morning, I saw you folks coming in. I didn't see many of you because I was late. You were already in here. But I saw a couple that were in my category. But anyway, you know, coming in, there is hope. There's hope. And I hope you haven't given up on this nation. Jesus is the answer. But Christianity is the way God expects a culture and wants a culture to live. These hands are absolutely amazing. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Allow me, if you would, to confiscate some material that I did not glean or capture concerning the ant. Go to the ant. This is a biblical thought. The Bible says go to the ant, and we read that, and we've never gone to the ant. Or we're never associated with somebody who went to the ant. Did you ever have an ant farm? Any of you ever have an ant farm? Raise your hand nice and high. Okay, we have two. I had one too, when I left the jelly out on the counter. Remember all them ants that came? That was my ant farm. Apparently, many of us, if not most of us, did not ever have an ant farm. So somebody who did have an ant farm listed some of the characteristics of the ant. I was going to have this runoff, and the reason I didn't do that, because while I would stand up here talking, you would be reading ahead of me, or you're reading behind me, or you wouldn't be paying attention to me. And so you're going to have to pay attention to find out some of the characteristics of an ant, because we're going to go to the ant, we're going to learn something. And so when it says the ant is highly industrialized. I mean, the ant takes advantage of whatever he possibly can to make his job easier and more efficient. So in the church, we can do that. We can do whatever it would take to the cell phone, okay? How many of you were opposed to the cell phone when it first came out? No, there's no way. I'm still opposed to it. It was wrong then. It's still wrong today. No, but anyway, we can take it from the ant. He used his whatever mechanical advantage to get his hands on. The ant is most laborious insect on the planet Earth. In other words, he likes to work. He likes to work. Was that a bad word in your upbringing? Is it still a bad word? Work. God would want us to work. How many days should we labor? How many days should we labor according to the word of God? What you know it. What answer? 6 days we're to labor. That's like work. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And the seventh day we are to. Now, if you work the 6 days, the seventh day, you're not going to want to go play golf. You're going to want to rest. We have desecrated the day called the Sabbath. We've desecrated the day of the Lord's Day. We don't have a day. Now, we would often say, well, every day is the Lord's Day, and every day belongs to God, and I live every day just like it is, and so forth and so on. But we don't have what you're having now every day. We're going to labor. We're going to work in dealing with young people. And I think they pick it up from their parents and once in a while from a grandparent. Do I have to do that? Do I have to do that? Do I have to do that? Isn't it nice to meet a young person who's looking for something to do? And just willing and anxious to do it and has enough mind to figure out this needs to be done. Okay? There's no more plates to put my cupcakes on. I think the dishes need to be done. Hey, Ma, there's no. You do it. And that's what we can learn from the ant. And our churches would be in better shape if we were a little bit more industrious. Physically, we cannot always do what we used to do. Right? But we can do as much as God would have us to do. I'm told that in our fundamental churches, that about 100% of the work is done by 10% of the people. Eh? Don't be afraid to do it. I go through my mind, and sometimes somebody will do it, and then we have to redo it. You ever have a painting party in church, and everybody shows up to paint, and some of them don't know which handle of the brush to hold? They use the bristles because it's softer, and they don't want to get any blisters on their delicate hands. Whatever. We need to have the ambition of the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. The ant, according to this survey, has a keen foresight for others. It cares about others. What can I do to help you? What can I do? You see somebody struggling with something? Can I help you? Today, you all seen that cartoon where somebody's helping a little old lady across the street? And she didn't want to go. She was just standing on the curb just thinking about something. And somebody grabbed her arm and said, here, let me help you across. Now she's on the other side and she's beating the guy with her umbrella. You know, I didn't want to go. We need to be considerate of others. The ant is considerate. He'll work until the work is done. He'll work till the work is done. Are any of you men of sufficient age to recall having a work week more than 40 hours? Yeah, you do it now. A work week more than 40 hours. I worked as an engineer for the state of New Jersey. They hired me for 40 hours. When I showed up, they said, you only have to come for 35. They're paying me for 40. And they said, when it's summer, it gets hot. And it's a little uncomfortable to work when it's hot. So in summertime, you only have to work 32 and a half hours a week. I said, poor me. I was going home and told my wife, this is rough. I got to work 32 and a half hours. I got paid for 40. And that mindset has an effect, not just in the workplace, but has an effect throughout the whole culture. You expect us to come back tonight for church? And how long is church going to be? You've got a clock up there. What's the clock for? To make sure the preacher doesn't overrun his time. Oh, no. Rev's coming back? We'll never get to lunch. We'll be the last ones at the diner. Yeah. You ought to go down south. I mean, people get up and walk out if the preacher's going over because they've got to get to the diner before the church from the Assembly of God church gets there or the Pentecostal church gets there. They've got to get to the diner. Let's not have that. Amen. I hope you're not writing all these things down because I got a long list here. An ant will work with others. They work together. They work well. The ant keeps their home unbelievably clean. Amen? You've done an excellent job. Now, I haven't walked around here as an inspector by no means. But this is a beautiful place. And it's a neat, organized place. Amen? It takes people. Now, have you hired a custodian to take care of the church? Okay. Good, because I was going to shoot that idea down. I didn't want to get thrown out of here before I get to preach this morning. No, but you know, some of the churches and some circumstances may well demand it. Okay? Where folks just could not do what a custodian could do. But I'm thinking in God's house, I would want God's people working on God's place. So if I hired a custodian, I definitely would want one from within our rank and file. And giving him some compensation for it, that's between you and the Lord. But, you know, the ant keeps his place clean. And we have been in a good number of churches, and I was going to commend you again, but we've been in a good number of churches where cleanliness is not next to godliness. That's not a Bible principle per se, but Mama used that on me enough that I know cleanliness is next to godliness. And so in our churches, we need to have that. Somebody once said, the church ought to be in the same condition as the congregation's homes are. Have you ever heard, this doesn't work anymore, let me give it to the church. I've got a coffee pot. There's really nothing wrong. I went out and got a new one. There's really nothing wrong with it. It's just there's the wire is just frayed a little bit. So I went out and we got a new one, but we gave the church our old one so we could take it off our income tax. You've never heard anything like that, huh? Well, give it to the church. The ant is intelligent and wise. He studies. In other words, when he sees a project, he's going to move this 2-ton rock. Can you imagine that? He got up this morning, recognized it was the Sabbath and didn't, or the Lord's day, and didn't have to. So there's that rock he wants to move, but he's not going to move it today. He's going to wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow he gets up and he sees that 2-ton rock he has to move. Comparatively speaking, that would be you getting up tomorrow morning looking at a 2-ton object. He's got to do it, but he's industrious. He's after it. He keeps right on working. The ant will fight to protect his young. The ant will fight to protect their young. Verbally, he doesn't talk. Physically, he'll fight. He'll fight. And I think, once again, we need to have that spirit that, no, you are not talking like that. You are not dressing like that. You are not saying that. I'm going to mention that later on in the message. But you're not going to do that. Somebody's got to step up and say, you're not doing that. You're just not doing that. You all with me? You remember how to give somebody the eye? I love my wife in many ways. But if she's there somewhere, she's a teacher for umpteen number of years, she knows how to give that eye. Don't have to say anything. If you're a teacher, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever taught, you don't have to say a word. You just have to, and I'm not sure I can do it. I don't know who I want to pick on here. But just stare them down and look at them. You can smile all you want until that child changes his behavior. Uh-huh. And we need that in our Christian circles. Where we say, we got to change our behavior. A few more on this list. The ant is very persistent. I will not quit. The ant is very persistent. Not going to give up on anything. The ant does what it's supposed to do without being told. My children always did what I told them to do. Am I not a good father? My children always did what I told them to do. I was of the mindset that I wanted my kids to do what I would tell them to do before I tell them to do it. My children always obey me. I'm not using myself as a perfect example by any means, but you know, if I want to say, as a parent or even a grandparent, you don't have to tell your children. They ought to know what they're supposed to be doing. They ought to have done it. How many times have I told you to put your books away when you come home from school? Instruct them ahead of time. When you come home from school, here's your books. You put them on the stairs or wherever they go. You put them there. When he comes home tomorrow, if he doesn't do it, he disobeyed you. But I forgot. Forgetting is not an excuse for not doing. Right? I know this sounds more like a lesson in parenting, but this is the ant. You go to the ant like God told you to do, and you will learn something. And grandma and grandpa, don't be overly sympathetic. Oh, but he's just 3 years old. He's just a little boy. He's only seven. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Can I get an amen? I'm afraid that some have softened up on that mindset. And as parents, as grandparents with your son or daughter, you try to talk them out. What you gave him, you're now telling him not to give him. But he's just young. Mommy, I was about the same age he is when you gave it to me. Why am I saying that? Because we live in a culture that's rapidly falling apart. Because generational has not been supportive even of the young people when they want to do what's right. Most of the time they don't want to do what's right anyway. But when they do, we got to support them. He has no guide, no one to lead him. He has no overseer. He just does what he knows he's supposed to do. Consider the sluggard. Consider the ant. That sluggard is habitually idle, lazy, dull, inactive, with no energy. Is that descriptive of a culture today? Yeah. Well, you didn't tell me to do it. You were here? You didn't tell me to do it. Do I have to tell you to do everything? Go over in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to look at a couple other things here this morning. I have more notes than I know what to do with. 2 Thessalonians. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. And what I have just said from behind this podium, you can conceive of yourself. And I would, just chatting with your wife or chatting on the way home, just consider some of it, of what the ant does that we could profit from. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. For yourselves, that's you all, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Wait a minute. If I'm going to learn how to live the Christian life, one of the ways here that Paul is advocating that we learn the Christian life is to follow somebody. And Paul said, follow me. Are you willing today to stand up and say, we're going to play follow the leader? You remember playing that in school? We're going to play follow the leader. Well, we're supposed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. Would the spiritual atmosphere and attitude of this place be worthy of reproduction? That you might say at a fellowship meeting or some place where you got the ear of other churches, hey, follow us. If you had a church like ours, you'd be doing good. I learned to play golf. You know how I learned to play golf? By watching the club champ and working with the pro. I did what they did. I can still to this day imitate the club champ's swing because I watched him and I watched him and I watched him and I watched him. Be a follower of someone who is what God would expect them to be, like Paul. You understand Paul was perfect. He didn't have any transgressions. He didn't need... No. You know I'm joking. I'm trying to exaggerate a point. Well, I'm not Paul. Well, you could be. The same blood flows through your veins that flowed through Paul's veins. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Sounds to me like the ant. The ant will work until all the work is done. Christian folks will work until all the work is done. The ant does what he's supposed to do without being told. How many times, I've said it before, but how many times did a kid say, you never told me, mommy? You never told me I was supposed to put the milk back in the refrigerator in the middle of summer, 105 degrees, and I need to tell you to put the milk back in the refrigerator. But mom, you never told me. I told you to put it in the refrigerator yesterday. I did. I put it in the refrigerator yesterday. But today's another day. You got to tell me again. And that's the mess that we're in. Disregarding biblical principles. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Our culture would be a whole lot better if they used that for a text in their social studies course in the secular school system. The ant does what it's supposed to do without being told. It collects her food for the right reason. Doesn't hoard it, overstuff it. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly, for naught we but wrought with labor and travail night and day. I kind of get the idea that was not a Sunday school picnic. It was a challenge that we might not be chargeable to any. So we see that the ant teaches us personal responsibility. You want to write that down, personal responsibility. Don't go push it off on anybody else. Number two, the ant teaches personal performance. Personal performance. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You may turn there. Chapter 9, verse 10. You may know it, but just turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Very simple but profound thought. Whatsoever, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do. Do it with all your might. The poor piano player is being picked on this morning. But have you ever watched him play the piano? Would you say that he plays the piano with all his might? Would you say he puts all of himself into playing the piano? Now, when you get to singing some of those songs, you all folks sitting out do the same thing. When that song comes up that you know without the songbook, you sing it with all your might. Even if you don't sound, you know, but you're singing it with all your might. And I think as Christian people, we need to do that. The outside world needs to see the dynamics of fundamental Christianity once again. You see, doing it with all your might. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Give it the very best you possibly can. Sorry to tell you what happened when my brakes went on the motorhome. I had to call a tow truck. Tow truck came. And we had a good conversation, witnessed to him, so forth, gave him gospel tracts, did all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to be an influence on him. I'm going to do it all my might. Now, I've got AAA and insurance, and he took care of the whole thing. But I handed the young man, along with the gospel tracts, I handed him a $20 bill. You ever seen them phony $20 bills that got the gospel tract on the back? If you hand them out, hand it and run, because some of them truck drivers are not very nice. So anyway, I handed him the $20 bill, and he said, no, I don't want, no. I said, here, I want you to take it. I told you where our church is at. I told you where the servers are at. I told you about the Lord. I want you to come. Now, a lot of times I hear people say, when I go to church, all they want is my money. So I'm giving you a head start. Here's $20. When you come to church, you can put it in the plate. You got no excuse now. So I'm not at church today to find out if he came. But anyway, do it with all your might. Do it the best you possibly can. In any way you possibly can. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. One more thought for this morning. Does that clock mean anything up there?
You're done.
Thank you. No, I'm going to let you hang. You'll never. The ant teaches personal perseverance. Personal perseverance. A little statement, I will not quit. You know, get that in your heart and in your mind. I will not quit. It's just not going to happen. And there are some times when you need to stop. Stopping is not quitting. Health reasons, physical reasons, mental reasons, whatever it is. Sometimes you can't do what you... I've had a CDL license. You know, a CDL license. I had it for the longest period of time, bus, church bus, school bus, so forth and so on, there at our church. And I got a little bit older, and I was having a hard time passing the physicals. You know what that's like? You see these glasses? I need the binoculars. And I went to take my physical. I'm in perfect health. But anyway, My eyesight is not the best. And so I left my glasses accidentally back in the car or wherever I was in. So I had to fill out the form, and I didn't have my glasses to read what the form said. But they had the room had a little jar with the tongue depressors in it. You ever see that? Well, I took that jar, and the glass was enough to magnify it, but not really enough, because when I brought the form that I checked some things off on and stuff like that, my wife looked at it and said, "Honey, you're not pregnant." I'm serious, not a makeup. You're not pregnant. I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You signed checked off over here." And I had to run back inside and catch the nurse that was sitting at the window. I said, "Can I see that form again? I think I made a mistake." She said, "I think you did." Perseverance. I will not quit. The road may get bumpy, may get hard, maybe uphill, maybe downhill where you're running too fast. But that ant perseveres. I've watched them when they drop it and they'll go back and pick it up. I think that's the neatest thing in all the world. They'll drop it and they'll go back and pick it up. They'll drop and go back and pick it up. Well, go to the ant. And I thought about not saying thou sluggard, but he's talking to us. And that we might go to the ant and say, "Okay, I'm going to put some of these ant principles into my life." Heavenly Father, bless something that was said from your word. You always bless your word. And something that was said here in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for it. Thank you for the dynamics here in this place. Continue to bless in a mighty way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.